Hey, Fish Tank family, let's keep it real. Debt can hit hard and it doesn't care who you are, but you don't have to face it alone. I've seen people struggle and I've seen what a second chance can do.
That's facts, Juice. And when it comes to getting folks out from under it, nobody does it better than Van Horn Law Group. Chad and his team don't just talk the talk. They show up and fight for people when they need it most.
Yeah, I've known Chad Van Horn for over a decade. He's a good friend. And more importantly, I've seen firsthand the real results he and his team deliver for people all over Florida. Bankruptcy, debt relief, whatever it takes to help you breathe again.
Over 10,000 people have gotten a fresh start thanks to Van Horn Law Group. No judgment, just real solutions.
Yeah, so if debt is holding you back, call Van Horn Law Group at 954-637-0000 or visit vanhornlawgroup.com for a free consultation.
And if you mention the Fish Tank, they'll even cover the cost of pulling your credit report so you know exactly where you stand.
That's right. Don't wait. Take control and get back in the game with Van Horn Law Group.
Hey, Fish Tank listeners, Alvaro Freitas here, CEO of Casabella Design Group and host of the Renovation Revolution podcast. Look, every great football team needs a quarterback, someone who reads the field, calls the play, and leads the drive. That's what I do on your renovation, from kickoff to the final whistle. Whether you're dreaming about a bathroom upgrade, building that bonus room for your just one more week brother-in-law, or teaching you how not to be that pain in the ass client, we cover it all. This is an HGTV flop. It's real talk from a contractor who's been in the dust, the drama, and the demo. So grab a cold brew or un cafecito if that's more of your vibe and join me for the renovation revolution wherever you get this podcast. Follow the show and I'll see you in the huddle.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Trap OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, Dog fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank.
All right, gentlemen, well, the day started one way, and it has taken a, left turn or right turn, I guess, depending on what side of the coin that you're on. But Seth Levitt here with OJ McDuffie and the award-winning columnist from Sun Sentinel, Dave Hyde. We had to bring you on, Dave, because it's conversations I know you and I have had ad nauseum for quite some time. But what a turn of events from the Miami Dolphins having their second straight losing season, 7-10, Mike McDaniel's end of the year press conference or post game press conference, and then his press conference the following day at 4 p.m. on Black Monday. Sounded like a man who was disappointed in the performance, but confident, you know, prepared to go to work. I'm the coach of this team until I'm told otherwise. Even before that, some of the decisions that were made, a lot of people felt that he had to have the confidence that he would be able to maintain his job when he went to a seventh round pick as a rookie starter, benching Tua Tagovailoa. And lo and behold, things start to change across the entire National Football League landscape when the Ravens part ways with John Harbaugh. What are your initial thoughts when you saw that statement from the Miami Dolphins that Stephen Ross, unlike the statement a year ago, this statement was, we have relieved Mike McDaniel of his duties?
Yeah, I think the foreshadowing was when the Dolphins spent weeks compiling a list of general manager candidates that they were going to interview, and they released it on Monday. A lot of thought went into that, no doubt. And then right around the time the news of Harbaugh being fired from Baltimore broke, they announced another candidate who's the LA Chargers assistant general manager who Chad worked Alexander. With Harbaugh. And it was like they're sending up a signal that, hey, we're interested. You know, this is the organization you can build if you come here. So you're always surprised when someone's fired. And who didn't like Mike? Who didn't root for Mike's quirky side and his unfootball coach football ways? But ultimately, when the Dolphins cleaned out their general manager, needed a new quarterback, I think with Harbaugh available, I'm assuming we'll find out coming up. But I'm assuming that they decided to make it a clean sweep.
You know, Dave, you are a guy that's obviously respected in the know down here. Got a lot of resources down here. Now, we found out around 10:30 today. When did Dave Hyde find out about the firing of Mike McDaniel?
I found out just when you found out. When I actually did Joe Rose from 6 to 10, and I driving into my driveway, and I got a text saying McDaniel's out. And so it was right about the time the whole world found out.
Right. Sounds like us.
Seth. No inside knowledge here, Juice.
Right, right. Well, you know, it sounds like us. Like when I was doing, you know, work for the team, doing the Finsiders, you know, we had to find out through Adam Schefter or somebody that something's going on with the team. And we were right there in the building. So I figured, you know, I'd hope they'd give you the love that they didn't show us when we were right there in the building, man.
No love.
Well, no love. Well, it's listen, Dave has been, I don't want to say hard on them, but you've been pretty direct in the direction that you thought the team needed to take. Certainly felt for quite some time they needed to move on from Chris Greer, which happened in October. I think some people felt that they could have made it a clean sweep at that point in time, especially after that loss to the Browns, which was really a low point, not just of the season, but since the rebuild began, I think going back to that 2020 draft or the 2019 decision to quote unquote tank, you know, to be beat up by the Browns, a team that you thought, well, this is one, well, we'll write the season and you just get run out of the building there. When you look back at, is it one season? Is it an accumulation of things that you think cost Mike McDaniel his job? Or do you think it truly is the availability of a coach with the resume of John Harbaugh?
Yeah, I think it's D, all the above. I think the accumulation of, I mean, above anything else, 35-35 record, okay? I mean, it was mediocre and diminishing each year just a little, but diminishing. You throw in, you know, I always thought Mike was learning how to be a head coach. And the question would be, if you're going to keep him, you had decided – he has learned how to be a head coach,
right?
You know, and what would you base that on? From what they were saying, 5-3 record over the last half of the season would be the basis. Okay, that's not a lot, right? But he was harder this year than previous years on you know, discipline. Not that doesn't mean he was hard, but he was harder. But ultimately, I think. Look, they talked to a lot of general manager candidates and we won't know what they said, what they told them about Mike. But when a guy like Harbaugh, he can bring instant credibility, instant trust to your fans that, okay, here's a professional taking charge. It doesn't mean he's going to win. It doesn't mean you're going to get over New England and Buffalo in the next 5 years. But at least you can trust that a professional football guy is running the show.
Yeah, Dave, that's a great point right there. And, you know, like you said, there's no guarantees we'll get Harbaugh, but we've had so many first-year guys, first-time guys as head coach. We've seen how that's worked out for us. It hasn't, honestly. You think an established guy like Harbaugh, I don't know who else we can even consider other than a Harbaugh or something were to happen down the line. You need somebody. I was telling Seth, and I'm not a fan of this guy, but I think we need a Jimmy Johnson type guy to come in and change the culture of what was created in that locker room. It seemed like it was Club Med to me at first. You know, yeah. What I mean, it was really, really nice and plush, and you know, real easy and convenient for guys. Do they need to go extreme opposite of that with a veteran coach right now?
You know, that's the way to go, right? I mean, look, when they had Brian Flores and his iron fist ways, they bring in Mike McDaniel, and it was, I called it a culture of comfort. You know, he wanted to make everybody happy, make sure everybody was paid, even overpaid,
right?
When they didn't have to do it. And then that led to, you saw with Jalen Ramsey and Tyreek Hill not showing up on time to practice. And so he got run over by players because he was too nice. You know, the first-time coach, veteran coach, you know what it comes down to? I always say it just comes down to the guy. Yeah. You know, there's a million ways up the mountain, but you got to get the right guy to take you there. You look at Chicago, Ben Johnson looks to be the right guy there. First time, Sean McVay when he went to the Rams. And meanwhile, you got a guy like Andy Reid, ditched by Philadelphia, goes to Kansas City, and they're in the Super Bowl. This is the first year, it seems like, in three generations they're not in the Super Bowl.
Right.
So that's the Dolphins need the right guy, right. And they haven't been able to find it in Steve Ross's time.
No, it's been far too long for sure. You know, you said something interesting when you were talking about the general manager interviews and general manager search and just probably what they would say about somebody like a Harbaugh being available. But I wonder, in general, those conversations that are being had, I can't fathom that the question about Mike McDaniel wouldn't be asked, right? Yeah. If you're sitting there and you're interviewing a general manager, what do you think about what we have? What do you think about, you know, everyone said you can't force, you're not going to get a real candidate, a candidate worth, you know, his weight in salt, if you're forcing the coach upon him. We heard about the Dennis Hickey situation and everything else. And so if they at least asked the question, which is why you had all these different people involved, you know, what do you think of Mike McDaniel? I have to believe that the combination of John Harbaugh becoming available and whatever feedback they got from guys had to sway Stephen Ross to get to the point where he made this decision.
Yeah, I'd be curious of the question. Look, if you're interviewing for the job, and everything you've been reading and hearing is they want to keep Mike McDaniel.
Yeah.
Does that sway your answer on Mike McDaniel if you want the job? Because maybe they're asking the question that if you can't work with Mike McDaniel, you're not going to get the job. I don't know. I'm curious myself and how they handled that. But certainly the optics are when Harbaugh became available, things changed. We'll see how it plays out now. Does Steve Ross and Harbaugh, can they work out a deal? Can Steve Ross close the deal? You're talking a lot of money Steve Ross is paying out here.
Yeah.
$99 million for Tua, reportedly $19 million for Mike. Who knows what for the rest of the coaching staff.
It made me feel a little less badly now with that number.
I mean, you always feel bad when someone's fired. Let's face it, you know. Not a good day, but that certainly has to ease any pain.
You know, David, and when talking about GMs, you know, they, whatever they're interviewing, and if they feel like a certain way about Mike, you know, I think that at some point the GM kind of has, you know, an upper hand at times when they can want to work with somebody. Now, if you get a guy like John Harbaugh, I think John Harbaugh would have more of the control over who the GM might be.
Who the GM is.
I think it goes the other way when it comes to a guy like John Harbaugh, right?
I think if you're let's start here. If you're Steve Ross and you're hiring John Harbaugh, you're just sliding the keys of the franchise over to him and saying, you build an organization, okay? Because that's how you're going to get him. I mean, that's
– right. Especially you're competing with 9 other teams or whatever it might be.
What can the Dolphins offer? Well, money, obviously. And then – the chance to build an organization, and it's a challenging
and Coconut Grove, Dave, apparently is what
it's a challenging build that if it's Harbaugh or anybody else, whoever's stepping in, it's a, you know, we're back to the full rebuild here.
So that brings me to my next question. And you mentioned Tua and the money that's owed to Tua. There's the assumption that Tua's gone. His final days are here. We heard the quote from, I guess, Barry and whoever the other writers were there that approached him on that locker cleanout day. You know, what do you think about a fresh start? And he said that'd be dope. A fresh start? You're going to have a fresh start here in Miami. Everybody's got a fresh start. So the question becomes, again, with the general manager, hey, well, what do you think about Tua? How would you handle this situation that we owe this guy $90-something million and what's your assessment? And so I would ask those questions if I were one of the 17 people that was in on those general manager interviews. So I wonder what has been said there, and whoever ends up becoming the head coach, whether it's Harbaugh or somebody else, what they feel about Tua Tagovailoa, and is there still a spot for him on this roster?
I think that's, You're dead on that. That'd be the question. One of the primary questions you ask it to the guys, and hopefully somebody comes up with a good thought or a new thought of how to disengage yourself with Tua. Ultimately, I think that's what they're doing, and in the least painful way possible to disengage yourself. And if that means keeping him and swallowing his salary and as a backup, if that's what the new coach wants to do, that'd be fine. And if he wants to move on, then you move on from him.
But a new coach, and Juice, you tell me, as from the player's perspective, being benched by your current coach and the coach that elevated you and the coach that showed you the 700 plays and the coach that got you paid the $200 million and Little Birdie told me and all these things, being benched by him has to hurt more and feel differently than a new coach coming in and saying, if you're going to start, you're going to have to earn it, right? I'm guessing.
Yeah, for me, for sure. I mean, and also, you know, when you think about it, you know, 4 years ago, that had to be a prerequisite for being the head coach for the Miami Dolphins. Can you work with Tua? Now, yeah. New coach, that's no longer the situation. One being benched, the many skills and everything like that. So I don't think anybody has come in here and say that they have to work with Tua anymore, because that ship has sailed for the Miami Dolphins. Look, the last three games, he didn't start. He was third string quarterback. Hey, maybe four with the new guy we brought in. No, but
Cam Miller, right?
Yeah. So I'm just saying. So like now, that was a whole different story then. Now, new guy doesn't have to worry about what Mike had to do. Mike had to convince, I think, Stephen Ross that he could rehabilitate Tua Tagovailoa, and he did that for a little bit of a spell. So, you know, I think coming in, everybody, like you talk about, Seth, you know, I played for Don Shula. But, man, did we have to bust our butts to show and prove for Jimmy Johnson when he came, you know. But that was an established guy. You know, of course, anybody you got to show and prove. But that was an established guy that was demanding, that, you know, everybody was on edge. So I want a coach that comes in here that's going to have guys a little bit on edge. Got to be on edge a little bit.
Yeah. The other thing you have to consider is Mike – made his whole offense revolve around what Tua could do.
Right.
And obviously with Tyreek and Jalen Waddle's speed, that became the focal point. Is a new coach as willing to say, I'm going to
base. I hope not. Or they got the wrong guy.
I hope not. I mean, right. I mean, we've seen the limit. Tua's told you the limitations. Right. You know, he's not, he can't see over the line. He, his ankles from Alabama, he can't run.
It gets loud in the stadium sometimes too.
Yeah. It's loud. They can't hear him in the huddle.
Crowd noise.
So
home game.
I think you know what? Make a fresh cut would be my idea. But because of so much money is owed to it, I agree with you, Seth, that it's going to be up to the new coach to do whatever you want.
Yeah, I just think it's a more reasonable conversation, or at least you have more options. Like, to me, Tua and Mike McDaniel was never going to ever work again. Like, that, to me, had been severed based on everything that we have heard or potentially have heard, or certainly that we saw. But with a new coach, you might get that could be the dope fresh start that Tua was looking for. And then he has an opportunity to at least earn his spot on the roster while they try to figure out pre-June, post-June, do we go run it, you know, all of those things. And I think that his feelings would have to be a little less hurt if he didn't earn it from this coach, as opposed to being demoted from the guy that had built you up higher than anybody else.
I'd look at it a different way, that Mike McDaniel built Tua, invested his career in him, but with the second contract, it was going to give him every single opportunity to succeed. And if he can't make it with Mike McDaniel here, how is he going to make it with somebody who isn't going to be as loving? But we'll see. We'll see how it plays
out. Maybe
that's
what he needed, is what I'm saying. And so who knows?
I get it. That's definitely – you know, sports is full of surprises or new stars, and maybe we get one here.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, honestly, Tua's going to have another decade in the league, I think, no matter what. Will it be as a starter somewhere? I don't. I mean,
decade.
I mean, it's not going to be up north anywhere, right? I mean,
not Buffalo.
Yeah, it's not going to be one of those places, man. So it's just unfortunate, you know, that, you know, I think that everything has to be chopped. Chris, Mike, I think Tua's the next one.
A lot of people have felt that from the beginning. So, look, to your point, though, it is – OJ and I did something the other day, and we talked about one reason if you kept Mike McDaniel, one reason to let him go. And I think we both landed on that it was time. And we're not the guys who, you know, there are certain people that love to just fire everybody and scream and yell and talk about who sucks, and that's not our style. But we did think the organization needed to move on and move forward. And here's an example of that. Dave, you wrote – and we talked about it, but you wrote that this was one of, if not the most damaging season in Miami Dolphins history. If the net result is that Mike McDaniel is removed and a coach with John Harbaugh's pedigree ends up taking this job, does your headline change?
That's interesting. I mean, if they make chicken salad here.
If they do the Gary Stevens.
If we wake up tomorrow and there's a bowl of chicken salad in front of us, I guess you could argue that. And I see the point there. The real bad led to something good because they had to make a decision. Now, you still got to dig your way out of a salary cap mess.
Yeah.
A roster that is an issue. You're still looking up at Buffalo with Josh Allen and New England with Drake May. So I still stand by that damaging quote, Seth.
It's a good word.
But I see your point. Something good can come out of the mess.
That was the question. Well, a lot remains to be seen. I'm very excited to see what happens from here and to read what your thoughts are on those things. He is Dave Hyde, Sun Sentinel. Now about to be, I don't know, I don't want to say TV star, but
yes.
I imagine you're getting a lot of these calls like the one you just got from us.
You know, every sad day like this, I get calls. Can you talk about the firing?
That's pretty often, Dave, with us.
The Dolphins going to the Super Bowl.
Hey, that would be nice.
That would be nice. That's something I've never done in my career.
If it happens, can we secure the interview now?
Right. Okay. I'm going to be eating my vegetables, too, to make sure I stay healthy.
Yeah, we are grandfathered in, Big Seth. We are grandfathered in, bro.
Maybe it'll happen sooner than we all think. Great stuff, Dave. Thank you so much, man.
Appreciate you, Dave.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Seth, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, golf fans, number one, of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk, dive up in that fish tank, go get your aqua orange, yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank, it's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank.